Get ready for the Very Visible Business Podcast with David Averin. Each week featuring a candid and raucous conversation with some of the most innovative, outspoken, and entrepreneurial business minds in the world today. This is the Very Visible Business Podcast, and here's David Averin.
And welcome to the Very Visible Business Podcast. My name is David Averin. And of course, every episode we bring to you somebody interesting. Let's have an interesting conversation. You know, one of the things I tell my guests is that I'm not going to send you questions beforehand. I mean, you can push a book or something else, but let's have a real conversation. Let's have something that's interesting. And we'll invite people to listen in. For those who go to my website, have a chance to watch the video version of this so they can see what we look like as we have that conversation, that interaction. I always ask my guests to do the interview video because I just like looking at them face to face and be able to have that real conversation. Most of you will be listening to this, the audio version, on all of the various platforms. I can't think of any platform that we are not currently on. In addition to this, of course, look at some of the other episodes or listen in and learn something about the human condition, about business and how it pertains to you, because it's important that we grow. It's important that we listen. I love that old line that says, when we talk, we only know what we know, but when we truly listen, we not only know what we know, but now we know what they know, and that knowledge gives us power. Daniel, that's a good one, huh?
I think we should end the podcast. You said everything I want to say.
And we haven't even introduced him yet. I'm talking here today with Daniel Bruce Levin. He is, this is a guy that's like literally like nobody else that you've heard from, talked to before. He is everything from a businessman to a sage to, I mean, I'll read his bio here in a second. But if you were looking for somebody's life to model, if you really wanted to be successful in business, successful in life, this is not the guy, because he has his own unique path that nobody would ever say, this is the way you should do it. But for him, it is the path, and it's the right path, and it's an ongoing path and journey. As I've learned more about what he's done, it's not anything I think that anybody can replicate, because it's so unique to him. And we have the privilege and the honor today of sort of sitting at the feet of the master as we have that conversation. I am so sucking up to this guy right now.
Yes, you are. What happened?
Let me read the quick bio. Daniel Bruce Levin walked away from an opportunity to run a $1 billion business, to hitchhike around the world, to find happiness and inner peace. His life has been a combination of massive victories, incredible defeats. Daniel left the seminary one day before becoming a rabbi, and then he lived as a monk in a monastery for 10 years. He's been director of business development at Hay House Publishing. He led its growth from $3 million to $100 million a year in revenue over a time span of 10 years. He's run a restaurant, a publishing house, a meditation retreat, has owned his own clothing company, a branding company, and a coaching business. He's that rare blend of businessman and mystic who's meditated every day for 45 years. I don't know that I've done anything every day for the last 45 years, but he's also the author of the brand new book, The Mosaic, which is this beautiful story, this fable that will touch your heart, soothe your soul. And it's a book that helps us see what we don't really see about ourselves and the magic that exists in the spaces between the words. Daniel, thanks for being with us.
What an honor. And thank you for, you know, reading that bio so incredibly well. I mean, I appreciate that.
You know, when I speak, I have the bio that, you know, that the meeting plan or whatever reads from the stage.
Yes.
And it lists all of these 26 countries, whatever, that I've spoken around the world. And then it says, David acknowledges that having me read that makes him sound far less arrogant than if he would have said all of that himself.
Totally. So let me already tilt the wheel. Okay.
Sure.
I so appreciate it when I used to speak a lot more than I do right now. People would read my resume and read my bio, and I was so thankful for the honor and dignity they would give, just like I'm thankful to you. But David, the truth of the matter is none of that matters. Because if in this 45 minutes or so, we don't make a connection to the people listening, they don't feel inspired to do something, they don't see something they haven't seen before, they don't make an innovative change in their life that they've been looking to do, it doesn't matter what I've done. I could have been living under a bridge for all this time.
Right.
Because the connection here is what matters. It doesn't matter that I've worked with government organizations or CEOs of companies. It doesn't, none of that matters. All that matters right now, right here, right in this moment, is whether the 1, 10, 1,000, a million people listening right now to this podcast feel something in the resonance of what happens here, in the conversation that we're having, that changes them. And I want to take I want to sort of dive deep for a minute, if I can, into what you said.
Please.
About if you're looking for a model of a guy to follow, to do business, this is not your guy. And I want to highlight that. It's not a defensive highlight. It's an offensive highlight.
Right.
In fact, if you're looking to model yourself after anybody else, I'm going to question your belief system. Because here's what I found. David, I've had the opportunity to sit with some of the richest people in the world, not in audiences, but as my friends. I know their children. I know their parents. I've sat at dinner tables with them and enjoyed conversation together around everything from philosophy to business to life. I've also had the absolute pleasure to sit on street corners with the poorest of the poor. I've sat with both demographics of people. And I've shared meals with them. Sometimes it was a loaf of bread on a street corner, and sometimes it was the fanciest meal in the fanciest restaurant or the nicest meal prepared by the family at home. And here's the one thing I see. If you are not yourself, who are you? If you don't define and know yourself, you will live by the definition other people give you. And so when you model yourself after somebody else, yeah, you might be fine. You might be fine. You might make a lot of money because those systems work. But time after time after time after time, what I've found is the people that model themselves after someone else, and when people try to be somebody other than they are and use systems that don't resonate with them, but they're just copying them, they have a lot of money, but they're not fulfilled.
Right. But let me ask you a question. Let me challenge sort of that initial thing, because it's broad platitudes, sounds great. I would embroider all that on a pillow. But the reality is...
I have it on my pillow. You want to
see? Do you really? I would say, you know. But the reality, I think, for a lot of people is that they aren't necessarily... Because I'm going to challenge sort of this assumption.
Please.
Everybody's lost and everybody's trying to... I think people are doing the best they can. I mean, I think... I like the idea of growth into the person that you can be the best version of yourself, and to model that after somebody else. I watch people who are celebrity impersonators for a living. The people who go through the process of actually changing themselves physically, surgery and others. I just think that's so incredibly sad that your value and your worth is by pretending to be somebody to such an extent. But for most of us, I think it's almost like, what's that last line in Anne Frank, right? Where she's just saying, I think at the end, we're just, you know, trying to be the best we, or do the best we can, or whatever. I'm going to misquote that, of course. But in that journey, we do seek, I mean, the people who are listening right now are looking for wisdom from me, from my guests. How do I do what I do better and different and faster and smarter? Connect those two.
I love it.
That self-actualization, that self-fulfillment, that discovery that may not be from a philosophical or mystical perspective of just trying to grow, and then connect that to being successful, because we got to support our families.
1,000,000,000%. And what a fabulous question. I love already where we're going. Here's the beautiful thing. Of course, we're going to look at models of what people have done in front of us. It would be stupid to do that. We get in a car every day and we drive on wheels that have been created, you know, hundreds of thousands of years ago, right? Or whatever it is.
Right.
We don't recreate the wheel and try and make triangles out of them. Of course, we're going to follow some of those systems. But here's the thing that I'm trying to get to. Some of my friends, when I was in my affluent phase of my life, a lot of my friends looked at me and said, Danny, when are you going to stop trying to find yourself? There's a world out here. You have a sharp business mind. You can do whatever you want. Come out here and let's make money. Let's help people through the service that we do. And I said, you know what? For right now, I'm going to pause. I'm just going to take the time to get to know myself. And they would laugh at me and mock me and ridicule me. These were my close friends.
Right.
And it hurt me. I had the opportunity to go to a reunion of friends of mine about 4 years ago. And I sat with some of those same people that mocked me. And it was really interesting because I walked into the room and they said, whoa, look at you. You don't look like us. You're different. I said, I've always been different. You know that. You used to yank my chain for being so different. Tell me what's going on with you right now. They said, Danny, we're billionaires. We've made a lot of money. We've helped a lot of people. We have strong, successful businesses. I'm on my sixth wife. My kids don't talk to me. I have no relationship to the people that are around me because I think everybody wants just my money.
Right.
When I look at you, I don't see any of that. I see like a genuine human being here. And I wish all these years I didn't mock you. So it isn't an either or scenario. It's a this and that. That's the beauty of what a mosaic is. It's connecting all the pieces of ourselves together. So we connect that part of us that wants fulfillment, and we connect that part of us that wants success. And we know where our destination is, and never do we let one drive the other without the other coming along. Right. So if we go after fulfillment, we can't leave money behind because we need to support our families. But if we go after money, all too often, we leave our fulfillment behind. We leave our morals behind. We leave some of our values behind. And those are the people that I'm talking to. Those are the people that end up coming to me to work with me because those are the people that are having an emotional, moral, spiritual crisis in their lives. Right. They have all the money in the world. They're richer than God, but they have not one drop of happiness.
But talk to me about a process in that, because the whole myth of life balance, my colleague and friend Dan Thurman talks about being off balance on purpose.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't it about being clear in terms of your intentions? And is it being clear on the destination so you can chart a path to get there? I mean, I'm not trying to be...
Those are different terminologies. Clear on your destination is different than clear on your intentions. You know, as growing up, probably you heard the same saying I did. Sure. The road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Absolutely.
Right? So our intentions in this world of new age mumbo jumbo, where intention is so overplayed, intention doesn't mean anything without actions that stand behind it.
Right.
And without a destination, we know now, look, when we get in our car, it's as simple as this. We put in our destination into our GPS system. We sit back and relax and we follow what it says. But we don't, all too often, people have the wrong destination. And what I'm finding is people, when they come to me at this point in their life, have put a destination above all else of being financially stable, of being financially well. Of having success financially. And the definition of success to them has been how much money do they have in their bank account?
Sure. But understand that most of our listeners and viewers aren't billionaires. And certainly you have, whether it's yourself, whether it's Marshall Goldsmith, Noah Ben Shia, others as well, that the sages that people go to who are the highest level. Marshall Goldsmith, I think his coaching program is like $500,000. He coaches CEOs, a brilliant man, a great colleague. Most of us don't have those kind of resources. How do we find that balance? Because the reality is we're getting up every day trying to slay those dragons. Entrepreneurs, I mean, we're all up at 2 o'clock in the morning. Everybody is. It's just what you're thinking about. It's who you're responsible for at 2 o'clock in the morning. So it's easy to throw out broad platitudes of, you know, that balance, that purpose and all of that. How do we apply that in the real world for those who aren't billionaires or can't afford your coaching? I'm sure many people can and might look to you after this, but what can we give them during this 45 minutes that we're talking together?
So the most
process to make that happen,
the most valuable thing a person can do is allow themselves to sit in the quiet, allow themselves to sit in the emptiness of not knowing. Because in our desire to always know, you said it opening up. You said sure. It so beautifully. You said, for those of us who speak all the time, we know we don't get anything from the world. But for those of us who listen, we understand what the world is trying to say to us. What the mosaic showed me is that in writing it, it's a fable. It's a story about a boy who loses his parents 2 years apart on the same day. And when he asks the adults where his parents are, they tell him they're in a place called heaven. So the little boy sets out in search for the place called heaven. His surprise is along his journey, he doesn't find the rabbis and the shamans and the priests and the gurus. What he finds is common ordinary people. He finds the garbage man and the street worker and the poor and the homeless guy and the blind woman. And he asks the people, he asks, why am I sitting with these people? These people can't show me heaven. I mean, they're just struggling. They're just trying to find their way. And in 100% of the cases, what he finds is he says, I'm going to sit with them and listen to their story. And when he listens to the story, the person he leaves is certainly a very different person than the person he first came to. Because the person he first came to was made up of his story about him. Here's a business tip for somebody. You want to go straight, solid business? When we realize in our company, every voice is important as every other voice, if we would take the time to listen, I was listening to one of your other podcasts, and the guy was talking about how there's so many people talking their voice and they need to have a set message, and that message has to be what it is. And it has to be, I think it was your messaging podcast, and I might've gotten it wrong, but I'm just going to use an example.
Sure, you're fine.
Right or not, okay? When we connect at the core of who we are, when we connect at the purpose around why we're doing business together, when we connect as why we're here as a company, what we want is the diversity of voices. Because the diversity of voices, it's like a wheel. At the core, at the hub is what we all believe. The spokes are who we are. And all those spokes go out in different directions to the rim, which is the messaging to the world that we have around us. We want that diversity. That's what a mosaic look is. It's diverse pieces. It's all different colors, shapes, sizes, textures. But when it comes together as one piece of art, it's the most beautiful piece of art you could ever imagine. When we try and make people something other than they are by giving them a message to say, by telling them you have to say our message, not your message, we have to make sure that we're aligned at the core level with the people that we work with. And the people that we work with are aligned at the core level of what we do. And sometimes when I go into a business, this happened for us with the government of Jamaica. We went to work with their ministry departments. And they were all born again. They were all Christians, strong Christians. And I'm just this, you know, like Eastern guy. I'm a meditator. But I sat with them and I said, there is so much tension in this room. Can you feel it? You're all Christians. How do you bring that belief system into your lack of trust of each other? And how do you build trust by believing in the thing that binds you all together rather than the thing that separates you? And I got them to promise me that they would meditate together before they started their work in an office where they don't have enough time to even breathe for 10 minutes together before they started their day. Meditation to them could mean whatever it did. I have a form of meditation that I use. I couldn't care if they used my form or not. But when we bind our team together at something of core value, then everything that we see happens and changes, because everything in the world is speaking to us. Our business is speaking to us. Our products are speaking to us. Our customers are speaking to us. Our employees are speaking to us. But we have forgotten how to listen. And so the simple basic practice, if you want, let's get not airy-fairy, okay?
Sure.
The simple basic practice that would change a business around from an entrepreneur who's struggling to one who is successful would be the simple art of listening. When your business is struggling, you have to understand why it's struggling. Why is it so hard? When you keep trying to leave a room by running into the wall, you're not going to make it. It's going to be hard.
Right. So let me stop you for a second, because I do want to get more, and I'll be the voice of the listener, that it sounds great that we need to listen to the universe and open ourselves up. Let's talk tangibly, because I agree with you 100%. But we have to put it into practice so that they don't, because you live with this, Daniel, you live with this message every day. You have it so refined in your mind. You write it in books. For other people who are coming into this, the last thing I want is for anybody to be adopt a dismissive posture that this is touchy-feely mumbo-jumbo, because the reality is there are structures that we can put in place to create better opportunities for listening. As I read some of your materials, as well as I understand organizational structure in the work that I do, is being able to get our people together to create a forum and a structure to have these facilitated conversations, to turn off our phones and focus our attention on who we are and that mosaic within the organization. What's your counsel around that?
So most people, what I found is most people think connection is this, is having a conversation with somebody else. What I found is there are three steps before that connection. And those are the steps in most cases that are lacking in most people. Before I can have a connection with you, I have to have a connection with me. And most of the time, for those of you, of people who are watching the video, you're going to see a graphic here, not a graphic on a, of a chart. You're going to see me do something, okay? I find a lot of the time what people do, a lot of the time what I do, let's get personal, is I do this. I literally knock myself down and don't believe in myself. I'm not good enough. I can't do that. I'm not going to ever, how's that going to ever happen? I don't know how to do that. Other people are better than me. And I keep doing this. And so with my right hand, I'm hitting myself. I'm trying to hit myself. With my left hand, I'm protecting myself. And my left hand is about 2 millimeters from my face. So in order to protect myself, not from you, but from myself, I build a silo around myself about 2 millimeters away from me. And I don't know where I'm going to hit myself. So that silo goes from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. So when I connect with you without connecting to myself, all I'm really doing is my wall is connecting to your wall. And we think that's connection because we paint the outside of our silos to be what you want me to be.
So let me put this in terms that people can understand as well, and correct me if I'm interpreting this wrong, is that you're saying that we put up a veneer.
Walls.
And it's not necessarily, I'll give you my perspective, it's not necessarily defensive. It's the role we think we're supposed to play. It's important. We modify or tweak based on the circumstance, based on the conversation, based on the environment. I'm going to wear different clothes depending on who I'm going to meet. I have a persona that I like to, that it's very authentic, but it's who I want to be when I present myself on stage. So we all have some veneer. I don't know that, and I don't know that you're asserting this, that we're all necessarily hiding from something, but you're suggesting that if we can strip away from that to a real level of authenticity, it's easier to connect because they're not connecting to a veneer. Am I
100%? And I don't want to say we're hiding, but we've all been hurt. Look, life deals us. We grow up and we're open and we're vulnerable, and life has hurt us. And so we protect ourselves. And it's not so much that we're hiding, but we protect ourselves because we don't know what's around the next bend. So we think if we can protect ourselves and if we can paint a picture of what you will like me as, if I can be to my customers what they want me to be, sure, then maybe they'll like me. But the problem is, after doing that for so long, I forget who I am. And I don't even know who I am. And I become a people pleaser, which is the most unfulfilling part of life that you could ever have.
Right. Because you're certain that we're playing that role so often that we sort of assume the role.
Yeah, we become it. We forget that we are the person behind the wall, not the wall that we painted on.
Right. Let me throw something else there before you, and this is all point number one before we have that authentic connection. We're going to stay on one for a second. How much of this do you see being exacerbated by this false world of social media? And I'm not anti-social media at all. I think it's a wonderful tool. I'm all in on it. But especially for my kids, I got kids who are teens and early 20s, and the unrealistic expectations of how happy and perfect everybody's life is has got to exacerbate this dynamic in a significant way.
1,000,000,000%. So when you have the courage to actually show up everywhere the way you are anywhere, all of it changes. And if you go on my social media pages, and you're welcome to, my website's danielbrucelevin.com. You can link to all my social media places. You'll see I talk about my foibles as much as I talk about my successes.
I do too.
Okay. And so here's what the world is dying for, especially in this day and age. We're dying for authentic, real people. And when you walk into a room, you can walk into a room with a beard like this. You can walk in an old man. You can walk in not beautiful. You can walk in beautiful. When people feel authenticity, they're drawn to you like a bees are drawn to honey. And what we have a big lack of is authenticity. And we all think we're authentic because we've started to believe we're the walls that we put around ourselves, but we're not. So how do you have great business relationships when my wall is only meeting your wall?
Yeah, but let me challenge you on
please, that. Come at me.
Because I agree with you 100%, but we're not doing this in a vacuum. Is that there are people who show their authentic self and they are beaten down because of it.
So
or they're worried. I love your response. Let me finish. Or they're worried that if they are, and they show their insecurities and their vulnerabilities and their imposter syndrome that everybody has, that they are opening themselves up to ridicule. They're diminishing their opportunities within the workplace because people see them as human.
David, let me jump in because I can't even contain myself because your question is so great. They're getting ridiculed and beaten up now anyway, being somebody else.
There you go. There's the answer.
I mean, the world wants to attack. The world wants to destroy. The world wants to change. The world wants to beat up. The world wants to say, I'm better than you, so that makes me okay. But when you have the courage, all I can tell you is this. I remember years ago walking into a boardroom in New York. Everybody, three-piece suits. And I walked in jeans and a t-shirt. And the CEO of the company said, excuse me, can we help you, sir? I said, well, yeah, my name is Danny, and I'm here to do some work with you guys today. They said, do you need to change somewhere? I said, oh, I see. Are you looking for someone who looks and thinks like you? I thought we were doing innovation work today.
Great response.
Right? Yeah, great. So if you can't allow somebody to be different than you, how will you ever allow yourself to be different than you are?
Right.
And this talk is not for those people that are happy being where they are. This talk is not for people that are growing their company exponentially and having a fulfilled, happy life. This conversation is for those people who, no matter where they are in some place in their life, they feel this sense that something's off. I just don't feel right doing this. I'm not connected.
Or there's some aspect, and I think we all are. Now, of course, when you're saying be yourself and be who you are, there are boundaries within that. I mean, if you're an asshole, stop being an asshole. If your authentic self is being a prick, then try and temper that a bit and get along with people.
So let me jump into that. Because I don't believe anybody's an asshole or a prick without for no reason. I have the honor of having a 30-year-old developmentally delayed daughter. David, it hasn't always been my honor. I have to say that to you.
Absolutely.
There have been times where I wanted to shoot myself because I couldn't understand. She doesn't speak like you and I speak. So she would try and speak and say something that I couldn't understand her, and she would scream. It wouldn't matter if we were in a restaurant at home, in a meeting with people. It wouldn't matter. She would just scream. And when I didn't get it, then she would throw a tantrum. And when she threw a tantrum and I still didn't get it, she would run and attack me and try and bite me or rip my shirt. And there were times that this would happen 5, 10, 15 times a day. And I would literally go crazy. I remember taking her out for breakfast. And we were driving in our town with our convertible down. And all of a sudden, for no reason, seemingly no reason to me, she went crazy. And she started screaming, and people on the street said, hey, what are you doing to that person? And they called the police, and they pulled the police over. I said, officer, please take me right now, lock me up, and you can deal with her. I'm at my wit's end. And he said, I'm sorry, sir, what's going on? I said, my daughter's developmentally delayed. We were trying to go out to breakfast. It's apparently she doesn't want to do that. So there were times where she was completely not a blessing. And you would think I'm a smart guy. I deal with people all the time. You would think I would caught on to this a little bit quicker. But finally, after about 15 years of this happening almost every day, 5, 10, 15 times a day, I said to my daughter, Elisa, you know how important it is that I understand you. I just can't understand you with your words. Can you try and talk to me in a way that is not with words? And in perfect English, from the midst of her rage, she smiled and said, I am, Daddy. I said, what do you mean you are? What the heck are you talking about? How are you talking to me? And she put her forefinger to the side of her head. And I said, you little son of a gun, have you been putting thoughts into my head? And autistic kids, because they can't use language, have other empowered skills.
Right.
And I said, I thought you were doing that, but I didn't trust it. Do you know from that day on, she has never screamed, she has never tantrumed, she has never come and tried, because now she knows I understand the way she's talking to me. And all anybody wants, I don't believe anybody's a dick or an asshole. The only reason they're a dick or an asshole is because what I realized in her is that everybody I meet does exactly the same thing. When we speak and we don't get listened to, we yell. When we yell and we don't get listened to, we create a scene. We might try and disrupt the business deal. We might try and lose papers. We might try and create an argument and a fight with our, in our family. We might try, and then they try and destroy. So we might try and pull down a company. We might sue a doctor. We might do whatever we do. We all do the same thing because it all goes back to the fact that we don't listen.
Right. It's a measure of empathy as well. All right. So let's go back to, for our listeners who are keeping track. Number one on the path before we can create those authentic relationships is to sort of get past and let the walls come down, get past the veneer and be more of your authentic self. And of course, there's a process to understand what that is and what you've gone through. We're not going to do it in this. What's number two?
But it's very easy. The process is very easy. If all I spend my time hitting myself, as soon as I stop hitting myself, I no longer need a wall to protect myself from hitting myself. So now I'm suddenly, that phase is over. I don't have to protect myself from something that doesn't hit me.
Got it.
The second step is once I see myself, I have to realize there's something bigger than myself happening. You can call that God, you can call that source, you can call it the universe, you can call it the company, you can call it the moral values of the belief systems of the people around you. But once you realize that you operate within your own self, you have to see that's not the only world I operate. There's something bigger trying to happen here. What is this company actually trying to do? What is this business actually about? It's not just about selling products. It's about doing something. What is that we're trying to do? What's at the core value of what we actually believe, and how do we go about doing that? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You with me?
I am totally with you.
Okay. Third step is, what's the purpose? When you know there's that you exist, and you know there's something bigger than you, then suddenly you realize, oh God, maybe I'm here for a reason. Maybe the reason you and I, David, are talking is not because we're doing a podcast. There might be something beyond what we see here. There might be some reason why this door opened for us to connect in a way that we don't even see. But if we pursue the purpose, if we look at that destination that we were talking about, and we say, what's the destination of this meeting really about? It may not be why we thought we were walking in the door.
Right.
When we're open to listening to what's happening, we might find that completely different things going on.
Let me throw this in there, because this brings me to, we're very much on the same page, but I kind of take it in a different direction.
I love it.
And I'm not a big, you know, my wife is much more spiritual, much more mystical, I guess you would say, in some respects. I'm pretty tangible. I'm the father of a real rocket scientist, and I look at it from that perspective. But I'm also deep enough to understand that these, whether it's chance, whether it's not, whether it's universe, almost is irrelevant to me. It's what does this afford us now?
Yeah.
The understanding. And you and I had a chance to chat beforehand. I have no doubt we're going to chat again afterwards. We are symbiotic in some ways. I think we're different in some ways. We have a cultural heritage that we share that, for me, I look at it as just the same importance in terms of the tactics, of the listening, of really creating an authentic connection. But I go to that place, okay, what does this afford me? Not in terms of what can I do to build my business, but this is somebody that I like, and this is going to enrich my life in a future relationship. And so whether it was preordained or not, and I think we're sort of along the same continuum, I love opportunities to connect, to see, hey, there's somebody I didn't know. Hey, this could be a really interesting relationship. Hey, I'm going to look this person up when I'm traveling through their town.
Yeah. I mean, 18 seconds ago, we didn't even know each other existed.
Right.
And suddenly we're having a conversation and we feel this connection, right? So I would just slightly modify what you said, rather than what can this afford me, to what does this afford us?
Great.
When we move from a me reality to a we reality, everything in life changes, because the mosaic has taught me we are all connected. We believe in a lie. And here's this, it sounds like mumbo jumbo, but when you run your business, you run your family like this, when you run your life like this, everything in your life changes. When we're connected gutturally to the people that work with us, to the people that we serve, our clients, to the people that don't even know we exist yet, but are one phone call away from knowing what we have, everything changes because we're connected to them. And life gives us the opportunity to connect to anything, because everything we seek is one connection away from where we are right now. We don't know what that connection is.
But talk to me in terms of a deeper connection. We have a lot of superficial connections, and having met somebody, this is akin to the what's it called? It's the Chamber of Commerce, right? It's the freaking business card exchange where people show up, everybody exchange cards. How many introductions are you going to make? There's no connection there. There's no authenticity there. So a mosaic, I think, from your perspective, and I want you to clarify your definition of mosaic, involves, as you said, whether it's a guttural or a visceral level of connection, but how do you achieve that?
By being that yourself. That's the whole, that work. I love when a conversation comes and it ties up a pretty pink ribbon, right? You've seen it. You've been in a room where someone walks in and you can't understand why people are so magnetically drawn to them, because they don't look like everybody else. They're not handsome or pretty. They don't have a lot of money, or they do have a lot of money. You'd have no idea, but they walk into a room and they carry a presence where everybody wants to be around them. And when you have a real person that has no walls around them, meet a superficial person, you know what happens? The real person, in a very short period of time, gets permission to take the wall that exists between the real person and the superficial person, brick by brick, one brick at a time, down. By saying, if I promise you I won't hurt you, if I promise you I won't make fun of you, if I promise you I won't do anything to offend you, will you trust me enough? You can keep your other three walls up. I know it's scary.
Sure.
Let's just take this wall down between us so that we can actually see what is real here between us. What we can decide to be a connection of a pretty shade of lipstick and a cute bow tie. But how about if we actually go beneath that? Because I feel something in you. And when you are genuine and real and you have your walls down, part of what happens is you start to feel the world around you differently and the people around you differently. And people want to be invited into the space, that space. They long to be invited into the space. Remember my daughter, the only reason why she's attacking is because she hasn't been heard. As soon as people feel heard and listened to, acknowledged and validated, loved and accepted, they can't believe it. You can't get rid of them.
But do we do that by, and I know on a broad sense the answer is yes, but I want to talk a little bit deeper, by bringing our own walls down. Now that sounds large, but here's what I mean from sort of a purely tactical perspective. I have recognized my entire life, I've got almost a sinister look. My beard is mostly white now, but when it was dark, people would always say, "Are you mad at me?" And I say, "I don't know why," right? Because I have this deep. But what I've learned, because people who know me behind the scenes, when I'm not on stage in a good suit, I'm in a superhero t-shirt and shorts and flip-flops. I mean, that's me. I am that guy that's comfortable enough in my masculinity that I could admit that I know every freaking song to every musical. I mean, I am that crazy, theatrical, silly dad. I attack my children and chew on their ears and their neck. And when I show that part of myself and my silly, my crazy, stupid, funny dancing, people are taken aback. So instead of walking to a room where it's the person who's dressed differently, looks differently, they write a script about me that I blow up. Because, and what I blow it up with is who I really am. I have a colleague named Jessica Pettit, and she's a great speaker. She's covered with tattoos. And she talks about, everybody has a story that they create upon first sight. And in that story that you write, she has a great line that she says, leave room in the margins for edits. Because, and as I read your material, Danny, what I get from you is that same admonition, which is we think we know people, allow them to rewrite that script, that story. And as Jessica says, leave room in the margins for edits.
David, beautiful. And I love that. You know, the first person I had on my podcast, because I was wanting to do, I have a podcast and I'd love you to be on my podcast as well,
sure,
by the way.
I'd be happy to.
Because The Mosaic is a book about ordinary people. And so the first person I had on my podcast was a homeless guy that I met. And I said, I'd really like to have you on my podcast. And he said, I would love that. And I said, and we started talking. And he said, I said, tell me about what it's like sitting on a corner. He said, I'm empathic, so I can feel people as they walk by. And he said, I felt so much hatred coming to me and so much disdain. And people looked at me as if I was less than an animal. And I thought, I'm not sure I want their 25 cents in my hat. But what I can do is I can pray for these people as they walk by. And they would walk by him sometimes 6, 8, 10 times a day. And each time they would walk by, he wouldn't go stand up and do a whole set of prayers. He sat quietly and just said a prayer for them as they walked by. Over the course of about 6 months, people started to stop. Those same people that walked by that hated him started to stop and stand there. And he didn't say anything to them. They didn't say anything to him. But now that they were standing, he could pray for them a little bit more deeply. Over the course of the next 3 months, those same people that hated him stopped to be with him, now started to bring pictures of their family and their friends that needed healing. And they placed them by his hat and they said, will you do for them? Will you do whatever you did to me? Will you do for them and through a picture? How is it possible that someone could have that sort of transformation? And so I asked them, what would you say to people? If you had one thing to say to people, what would you say? And he said, if you could make it a habit to go up to someone you don't know and just ask them how they are and sit with them for 10 minutes and just listen without judgment, just listen. I said, why is that so important? He said, I'll tell you personally why it is. I was about to commit suicide one day and a man did that to me. And the reason I was going to commit suicide is because I thought nobody cared. But this absolute stranger walked down and sat up down to me and he said, you feel like you could use some love. What's going on? Tell me how you're doing. And he said, I'm still around today because of that man. The story that we tell about people when we first see them is so completely wrong. The world that we see is only the world that we see. It isn't the world that is. And if we would spend 10 minutes and just listen to the people that are around us, listen to what our employees are saying, ask the janitor at our business what he thinks. Ask the salespeople, how come you can't language what I'm languaging? What would you prefer to say? Ask our clients, what is it about us that you don't know that if we told you, you might engage with us more? And just listen. If we would listen, everything in our life would grow exponentially. And it goes deeper. If we would just listen to our own selves, rather than the made-up story. You know how many times I used to be with Tony Robbins. And you know how many people have gone to see Tony Robbins and become little Tony Robbinses?
Right.
It's disgusting. If I want to be with Tony, I'm going to go with Tony. I don't want to be with some little schlemiel who's trying to be another Tony wannabe. If people want to be themselves, become yourself. Don't follow the role model of me. This is the perfect segue. I am not the person you model your life after to be unless you want to become yourself. And then I'll help you do that by cutting through all the BS of all the things you think you have to be in order to be accepted. Because what I found, David, in every single case is the person hiding behind the wall is a billion times more exquisite than the one that's painted on the wall that we believe we are. Be that person. See what happens.
Daniel Bruce Levin, people want to get in touch with you, learn more about you, potentially even work with you from a coaching perspective. How do they get a hold of you?
You can go to my website, danielbrucelevin.com. Simple, easy, couldn't be easier.
And the book, and the new book, The Mosaic, is it available yet?
Absolutely. It's on Amazon. I would welcome you to come. It's for those of you who are on video, you can see it. Beautiful book. It's a fable. The beautiful thing about telling a story, David, is if you tell it well, it's no longer my story. The story becomes your story because you start to see in it yourself. Whereas a self-help book or a business book teaches you what to do, a story just allows you to take from the story what you have.
and a whole lot easier to remember. What a treat to connect with you. And I know that we will connect beyond this. Once again, Daniel Bruce Levin, L-E-V-I-N. Look him up online and learn more about him. I'm eager to get a copy of the book. I know it just came out and I'm going to read it and I will leave a review and we will be in communication. I want to remind everybody also that the Very Visible Business Podcast is sponsored by the Customer Experience Advantage and the Morning Huddle. What if you were to meet for just 20, 30 minutes once a week with your team to gather to focus on how to make your customers' lives better and become remarkably easy to do business with? Your new competitive advantage starts with a weekly morning huddle with your team. Learn how you can begin this powerful new initiative at your business by visiting thecxadvantage.com. Be sure to click to like this podcast, hit the subscribe button, check out the past interviews as well. And remember, you can see the video version of this on my YouTube channel and also on my regular channel or on my regular website as well. Speaking of website, if you want to learn how you can bring me in to speak for your meeting, your organization, work with you, look me up at visibilityinternational.com. Be sure to pick up a copy of my brand new book, Why Customers Leave and How to Win Them Back. Also coming out soon in India, in Russian, in Chinese, in Spanish as well. Of course, it's on hardback and Kindle and audio as well. Thanks for tuning in. Check us out. Check out some of the other episodes as well. And we will talk to you soon.
For past and future episodes, be sure to subscribe at theveryvisiblebusiness.com. You can also learn more about David Averin's keynote speaking and consulting at visibilityinternational.com. Connect with us on social media and check out David Averin's latest book, Visibility Marketing, at amazon.com. This has been the Very Visible Business Podcast with David Averin.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.